Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for November 6th of the year of our Lord, 2017. Hope you had a delightful weekend. This is Hour 2 at 2, and so hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, always on tap. We reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Our goal always, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Last hour, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, incredible discussion about a variety of topics. Jerry Springer show at the Republican committees in Utah. It's crazy. We also talked about Rand Paul got assaulted by this liberal. Crazy stuff. Our prayers are with Rand. I hope he's okay. Also, the shooting that took place at the church. Not going to comment on it too much except to say psychotropic drugs most likely involved. Military tie. Again, the guy, poor guy, didn't have God, family, and country in his life at all. As we can tell, and therefore the problem. Now, we talked about two Cedar Hills candidates disqualified after failing to turn in a final campaign finance report. Now, why you got to turn in the final campaign finance report before the campaign is final is beyond me. Nevertheless, that seems to be the case in this case, if you will. Now, I want to bring this up, though. Kurt Crosby is one of these Cedar Hills, Utah candidates that was disqualified. We talked about it at the end of the last hour. Kurt just said, hey, he got so many emails that he couldn't focus on for the camp from the city about this and this and this, you know, erroneous stuff that didn't matter in his mind because there's just too much stuff to focus on. So he put it in a spam folder, but then, hey, this critical thing came. He didn't realize it, and therefore he didn't file on time and got disqualified. Now, Kurt was making the point right at the end of the hour that I think we need to pick up on. Kurt, you were saying you bet on Halloween when this event happened that if it was somebody else that they liked, that they would have been making phone calls to make sure that they didn't miss the deadline as opposed to just an email that got put in a spam folder. And this brings up a very critical issue. Go ahead, sir.
Well, and I have no real way of knowing this. I just know that it was interesting the day after this so-called infraction, you know, that led to our disqualification, that I did get a call from, the guy who is currently the mayor, Gary Gygi. I got a call on my personal cell phone, you know, pretty early in the morning, and he said, I'm not calling as the mayor, but I'm calling as your friend and telling you, you know, you need to get over, fill out that form. And I commented to my wife, and she, commented to me about it yesterday, but she's, I said, oh, that's so nice, man, I get over there and I can get that form done because, he's concerned about me, And anyway,
he's just mocking you and making a fool out of you. That's all.
Okay. Well, anyway.
And I'll tell you why. Because he could have called the day before, or he could do his best to write a letter saying, look, I realize they missed this deadline. Why don't we create a grace period since it was Halloween? Or, in other words, if he advocates for a little bit of leniency, then I'll support that. But if there's no leniency and he doesn't even advocate for that leniency, I'll think it was by design to mock you. That's just my opinion.
You know, and I don't know the inner workings of the whole thing, but I do know this, that, they had my cell phone. They certainly had the cell phone of the other individual that was, disqualified as well. They're able to reach us almost at any time, and yet...
But only when they want to, Kurt.
Yeah, it just seems like you would in an effort to promote goodwill and that kind of thing, you would treat all sides fairly. And when I say that, I know that some would say, well, they would never call if the other guys hadn't gotten theirs in. And I would say, well, I doubt that somehow.
Well, and maybe they would have called, they wouldn't. We don't know, but here's what we do know, Kurt. Some of the insiders that work for government have these staffs and these other people that watch out for them. And if there was an inside, let's say, county recorder or campaign finance something, or the, you know, city manager or one of the other city council members or the mayor, or they're in meetings all the time. And surely it would have been mentioned that, oh, by the way, these forms need to be filed and da 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 da. So, you know, I don't know if they would have called or not. The point is, though, that if it was one of their people, do you think that somebody would have made sure that they got that finding in on time and reminded them or whatever else? And the answer is most likely. The problem,
you know,
that
another
I have
thing
with
I
this
wanna...
whole thing, though, is really we're going to miss one little paperwork deadline. What there ought to be is a grace period. Let me give you an example. In the private world, if I have a domain, let's say, you know, libertyroundtable.com, if my domain expires, what they do is they email me or they get a hold of me and say, your domain's expired. You have a grace period to resolve the problem or else you're going to lose the domain. Okay, none of this is the case here. And I would say this, whether we're going to, you know, fix this for Kirk Crosby and create a grace period or what we're going to do or not, I don't know. But going forward, I would say this. You know what? There needs to be a way to prove that Kirk Crosby was notified in an acceptable way and he refused to get it done. Or, you know what, he was notified, the time expired, and there's a grace period to rectify the problem. What I don't like about this is it's after people send in their ballots, okay, but before the actual final in the election. So they're calling it a final election report or whatever, but it's in between when people... So now you got a bunch of disenfranchised voters, and in this case, you don't even have anybody to vote for, Kurt. Why even have a vote here? Because there's only one candidate now, which is what you were trying to prevent in the first place. And so
right, and
you can ignore the snafus in this case, or you can talk about them and make a big thing about them. All I'm saying is, look, are we trying to stop somebody from having a valid election? Or are we really trying to use a technicality to shut someone down? You know, what's the goal with this kind of ticky-tack law? I'm not here to disobey the law. What I'm trying to say is that people who for 6 months thought they could vote for Kirk Crosby and who turned in their ballot to do so now... because of a little teeny technicality that Kurt didn't realize, hey, they've been completely disenfranchised, Kurt. My point is, it's not even about you. It's about the voter. Nevertheless,
well, it brings up another point, and thanks for going over that, Sam. And by the way, it brings up another point. I think that they originally probably put this in so that you'd get this report and you know, the concerned voter could see a week before the election, they could see who it was that was backing particular candidates. Now, that would only be if the candidate was honest and put, you know, the actual information there, because
it would also only be if the voter has time in that little narrow window
to go study
that sucker too. Come on.
That's right. That's right. Or the media does its due diligence and reports on it so that then the voter can say, oh, hey, guess what? You know, these people are backing this and I don't really want that and whatever. Well, doesn't the whole mail-in voting thing kind of just obliterate that whole thing? At least for me it does, when people can send in their ballots 2 or 3 weeks before this report's even filed, then I think the reason for it's just gone. Plus, you know, I will say this, that in the future, if I ever do this, my wife told me I shouldn't, but anyway, if I ever do this again,
what, get disqualified?
I will, no, simply not run.
You're
again.
Saying your wife
anyway,
says you shouldn't run. Okay.
Yeah. That I would suggest to anybody that as soon as they hand them the form, they simply turn it around and fill it out and turn it in right then. As far as I know, there's no problem with turning it in early, and yet, you know, it will have very little information, if anything, on it. And yet, at least you will have crossed that T or dotted that I so that you don't get disqualified.
And you can do that, but again, the real problem, and I'm going to come back to this, and I'm going to defend Kirk Crosby here. He tried to run. He tried to do the best he could. It wasn't intentional that he missed this thing. It was an error on Kurt's part. He'll blatantly admit it, and he's not attacking anybody, saying there's fraud, or he's not saying there's a conspiracy against him. He's not saying any of those things. What he's saying is he missed the deadline. He's sorry he missed it. Because he put these things in spam, he didn't really realize. He didn't realize the report was due now. And so he got burned by something that he didn't know. My problem with this, again, is this just smacks of insiders where they have all these rules. And if you're an insider government official or you got this big campaign staff or you got a lot of foot soldiers, they'll make sure you never miss these deadlines. But the guy running a very thin campaign without a bunch of people looking over his shoulder to help make sure everything gets done. I'll give you an example. I doubt Orrin Hatch fills out his own paperwork to turn that sucker in. I'm telling you that right now. Okay, and this is kind of what I mean, is that it rewards the insiders. It makes it very difficult for outsiders to get a foothold or to make a difference. And in this case, what it's really done is disenfranchised a bunch of voters. You can agree or disagree with my position on this and say, well, the law is the law, Sam, tough beans. Okay, I get it. What you can't disagree with, though, is you got a bunch of disenfranchised voters. How many people voted for Kirk Crosby? And how many people were counting on there being actually an election here, which now there is none? And we can talk about, right, and we will in seconds, about this idea. Could there be an appropriate way to rectify this, not only for Kurt, but in the future?
Every day I wake up, it's almost like a battle. It's like, well, you know, I could do this today. I could go get drunk.
I don't like beer. I'm an alcoholic because I can't, you know, stop drinking because it alters my mind, but I don't like alcohol.
And I had to keep telling myself that, you know, this is okay. Everybody does this. My whole life was just a big lie.
I can't control if I do take that drink because I'm an addict and I can't.
I admit it's messed me up.
I don't have a very good memory. I have a hard time remembering things when I learn them.
I can't concentrate on one thing for more than 5 or 10 minutes. You have fun until you hit rock bottom and it's not fun anymore.
I remember sitting in assemblies about drugs and I thought, that's never going to happen to me. I'm never going to be like those kids. Here I am.
The choices that you make are choices you're going to have to live with.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land. The Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Anyway, it's sad that Kirk Crosby missed the deadline. He explained why he didn't do it intentionally, but it happened, and the technicality is the law, and so we're not complaining about that. What I'm complaining about, though, is you got a bunch of disenfranchised voters. There is no election now. There's only one candidate for mayor, and there you go. Had others known that there was nobody else running, they might have filed as well. But I, again, go back to this example in the real world. Okay, this is where politics is always different from the real world. If my domain expires, and I only use a technical example because I'm just familiar with technical issues, right? Then they say, your domain's expired, Sam, and they make sure that I know that, and then there's a window to rectify the problem. There's no window here. There's just, you're disqualified. There's nobody helping Kirk Crosby remember this, and the sad part is with mail-in ballots instead of an election day coming up, hey, a lot of people have already turned in their ballots, so their whole voting has been disenfranchised, in my opinion. Because they can't vote for Kurt. To have this, I understand, but there needs to be a way going forward for reform. And you can say, fine, Kurt lost, whatever, who cares? You know what? But I'm telling you right now, we need reform in these kinds of things because it's rewarding insiders, penalizing outsiders. If you're an insider and you're going to city council meetings or, you know, a city official or you had a big campaign staff or whatever else, there's no way they would have let those deadlines get missed. Now, you can also go study news reports where other big politicians have missed these. And what they've done, Kurt, is they've modified things saying, whoa, you know what? This was just an oversight. Let's let them rectify this thing. Come on. I know what the law says, but let's create a grace period. It was on Halloween or whatever. And they'd let Kirk Crosby fill that thing out, turn it right in real quick. And they'd say, hey, no harm, no foul. Let's have a real election here. Let the best man win. They're not doing that in this case, which that, again, makes me kind of concerned about, again, the integrity of the vote. Is it vote fraud? They would say, of course not, Sam. Kurt didn't follow the law. And I would say you're right. However, what about the disenfranchised voter who turned in their ballot who did nothing? And had the voter that voted for Kurt Crosby known that, hey, this report should be filed by Kurt, and you know what? There's a 2 days before the deadline. I bet you one of these voters would have called Kurt and said, hey, Kurt, you know this. I know that if I would have known about it, I would have. Hey, Kurt, you got to file this deadline, buddy. You got this thing filled out or whatever. And so I'm not necessarily just defending Kurt Crosby because he's my friend. I'm fairly trying to look at this from the outside, looking in and saying, hey, what's the honorable right thing to do? Do you take advantage of someone because of their words? Or do you take advantage of someone because they missed a deadline with no grace period to rectify? Do you, well, Kurt just didn't really realize and say, well, by golly, we sent out the email. Tough crap that it went in your spam. Sorry. Too bad. At what point do we say we want an honest, open, fair election? And in this case, I don't see it happening, Kurt. I really don't. And whether it's you or, now let's say the tables were turned, Jenny Reese. I would, believe it or not, be defending Jenny Reese right now saying, hey, this same thing is true. To me, what's important is that the voters can vote for who they want to, and we can let the people's will. That's what a democratic republic is all about. We have a republic. It's not a technicality where you lost, so now there's no one to vote for. Now she's mayor. Then she's an incumbent. Now she runs next time. See, all this stuff, in my opinion, smacks of taking the people out of the mix. Yeah, you took Kurt out. Fine. But what you really took is all the voters and their ability to vote for Kurt Crosby out of the mix, too. And at some point, we can say, fine, you lost this one. Maybe we should or should not battle for Kurt's position. By the way, you ought to talk to an attorney or somebody else about this on your personal level. There's been case precedent where other deadlines have been waived that we ought to look at in this case and appeal for that. In the meantime, forget about Kurt's case. Okay, he and another guy lost. But let's say that, or got disqualified. Let's say it differently, though. What about the voters going forward? Are we going to reform this in a meaningful way to not disenfranchise so many voters, or are we just going to let this thing die and leave it alone? I see a disparity in the system, Kurt.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Sam. And, you know, that's one of the things that I I was talking to a close individual to me and, you know, saying how it's interesting when you're a little kid growing up, you kind of, there, at least there used to be this idea that, hey, anybody could grow up to be president. Yeah, I will admit with Bill Clinton and several other things that most parents dissuaded their children and continue to do so, you know, from ever even thinking of the fact. But, you know, it's supposed to be that, hey, America, you know, it's the land of the free, home of the brave. You know, it should be that everybody could participate. Well, we found out in our, I guess it's like 30-something years now, participating in this so-called democratic process.
And that's what it's turned into. It's not a democratic republic process like it ought to be. It's really a cesspool full of you know, riptides and you know, sharks. And I mean, it's full of gotchas, Kurt.
Yeah.
Is the sad part.
I mean, that's really what we've seen. And I could, you know, go ahead and just basically list off the, I guess you could say, my evolution, my history of stories going through this that would be each, at least I think, part of the reasons I feel the way I do now. You know, I'm not telling you to, hey, give up on the whole process. I'm simply telling you that, hey, when you see things that need to be fixed, you go at trying to fix them.
And that's why I say set aside Kurt for a second. The voters have been disenfranchised, and do we want to work on reform for this problem? Even our enemies in this case, Kurt, or our political opposition, whatever you want to call them, should agree that this is a little bit, you know, no forgiveness, no opportunity. Maybe there needs to be a better process to make sure you know to file it. Maybe there needs to be a little bit of a window. Hey, you missed the deadline, but you've got 2 days to rectify. I mean, they even allow you that with your power bill, Kurt. You missed the deadline for your power bill, and they're like, hey.
They give you a late fee, you know, or whatever. You know, it's interesting, you know, very interesting that there wouldn't be that case in this case. I thought also, Sam, as I looked at the different news reports talking about this, you know, I was contacted by one individual from the press, as far as I know, I mean, I try to.
No, you were contacted by me too.
I know, but I'm talking about one that reported in these areas, you know, and the three news stories I saw about it all referenced her call. Somebody named Katie McKellar from Deseret News, and I thought it was interesting. I probably should have recorded the call myself, but I didn't. She said that I said, I'm disappointed, but I'm also disappointed in our whole system the way it is. Then I went on, she says, you've got to sign up to run for office months ahead of time. And if you don't do every little thing, you're just disqualified. I don't think it would have been that way back in the early days of our country. So, you know, I received counsel from several individuals of what I should have said. But anyway, that's what I said.
I think what you said is perfect. I agree with this. You know what? Do you think the founding fathers would be happy with all these little technicalities to just shut everybody down? Or do you think it violates the intent and spirit of the founders? I think that it does the latter. And that's why I say, forget Kurt's case if you want. Fine. You can say, you know, we're running around with sour grapes. I'm saying I think the system needs reform.
Now, my opponent or, you know, before so-called opponent or whatever, Mrs. Reese, they contacted her, and she basically called the situation unfortunate. But she said city officials' hands are tied by state law. She said, I love the opportunity for voters to be able to choose candidates through the voting process, but at the same time, I understand and respect that state laws are there for a purpose, and we're all required to abide by them.
Now, I agree to abide by them, but I would say this. She should be one of the first ones, especially now that she has nobody in the race. She's just got the mayor by default. There's no election here. She should be saying, you know what, I think this is unfortunate. I think there should be a forgiveness period. She should be on the reform this bandwagon, same as I, Kurt. I'm not picking a candidate here. What I'm saying is the people should have a choice. And this choice was, in my opinion, denied because of a hard deadline where somebody wasn't in full know of that, you know, hard deadline. And all I'm saying is this technicality and this no solutions or no way to rectify a problem scenario that I have a problem with. And you would think that Jenny Reese and others would be saying kind of the same thing here.
Well, it also makes you feel like the same thing you see when it comes to these, where they have these so-called public meetings where they want to take public comment. And yet it seems like everyone we've ever been to, Sam, they've got their minds made up. They're just listening to you. Because somehow, somewhere in the law, it says they're supposed to. And then they just go ahead and vote the way they want. You know, we see this so many times. It's like when you go in and you feel wronged by the system and you go before the judge and the judge basically says, hey, guilty, I don't care what you say or
no
what
you do.
No jury
for you either, my friend.
And you feel kind of like, hey, this really isn't the America I thought it was.
One last point on this, then we'll move to other topics. Our prayers are with Kurt. Our prayers are for reform. Our prayers are for honesty. The more this happens, the more people feel disenfranchised, the worse for America, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you that right now.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at kosher-tified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Kosher-tified app will be your start. Download it now at kosher-tified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, it looks like T-Mobile and Sprint failed to create a merger once again. Wow. Bottom line is you got a duopoly in America, primarily speaking for the phone companies. You got Verizon and AT&T, the two massives. Then you got T-Mobile and Sprint. T-Mobile could probably survive on its own. It's just the third way behind, you know. But Sprint may not even survive is the tragic thing here. And you would hope that somehow shareholders or somehow whatever, there could be some kind of a way forward. But I guess they just couldn't get it done. So that's dead. And in a strange way, I think less competition here, meaning going from four to three providers, would actually create more competition. Because when there's right now, what it, if you want to call it five in the playing field, I'm sorry, four in the playing field, it's very hard for someone to even get to that smaller tier because you got two players there already and you got two players in the quote larger tier and they don't really exactly compete with each other in many ways. Well, it's hard for a new startup to get there. I'm not saying they could never get there, but if you had three large players and a vacancy behind that, you might find somebody that would build a better mousetrap to compete there. But again, they failed to create a merger. So there's that. Now, Kirk Crosby and I had a discussion on Friday. And we talked specifically about the big cable networks and how they are literally losing subscribers left and right. I think we talked about that on Thursday or whatever it was. Anyway, last week sometime. And we talked about how they're losing subscribers big time because of the NFL, because people are just sick of paying such high cable bills. Everybody wants a la carte TV. And we talked about the new media is taking center stage and a la carte TV is coming to the table in many ways. Now, it's not here the way I think it ought to be yet, but it's a coming. And so there's several different spaces here to discuss, okay? None of the three huge live streaming services provide real a la carte TV. That's still a distant dream that allows you to pick and choose individual channels. But we're getting there. You say, who are the three, Sam? Well, there's three primary live streaming TV providers right now. You got Sling TV, Direct TV Now, and PlayStation View. That's who you've got. Now, some are saying, Sam, don't forget about YouTube. Okay, but they don't have real. Don't forget about, hey, Amazon is building an a la carte TV service. Okay, I agree. But again, it's a debate about one live services versus on-demand services. So let me explain. You got Sling TV, Direct TV Now, and PlayStation View. By the way, you don't have to have a PlayStation to use it. But anyway, those three are the kind of the live streaming services. And they have live programs. They've got packages of channels. Sling TV is probably the least expensive. Direct TV is probably the most expensive. And PlayStation View is kind of in the middle. They all have a variety of channels, and they allow you to do much more a la carte than the other cable providers, big time. But they're not extremely a la carte. You get anywhere from 20 to, you know, a couple, you know, 100 channels or whatever else, depending on the price point you pay. They start at about $20, these new alternative services, and go on up to, you know, $70-$80. So they're cheaper than cable, but they're still expensive, and they're not true a la carte. By the way, I personally think probably Sling TV is one of the best of them. Now you say, well, Sam, wait a minute. You got a bunch of other services that you're not talking about. Yeah, now we go into the on-demand services. And on-demand, you got Netflix and Hulu, and you got tons of choices. And they're, again, not a la carte, but you're buying almost a la carte providers. Let me give you an example. It's what you want to focus on. For example, if you want older TV shows and a ton of movies, then you want Netflix. If you want a slimmer list of stuff, only some movies, but a lot of modern TV shows, then you want Hulu. And if you want unique packages, there's a gazillion sources to get unique on-demand TV packages. For example, the one I like used to be called something Angel. Now it's called Phelan, and they just updated the name now to Hallmark Now. Not the Hallmark Channel, it's Hallmark Now or whatever. That's the one I use because they have a lot of, you know, romance movies and chick flicks and things that my wife likes. And a lot of it's on demand and I like it too. And they've got a lot of Christmas movies and Thanksgiving movies and things that we really love. Okay. So the bottom line is you buy these, they're not completely a la carte because they're not single channel, but they are a la carte in the sense that you're buying kind of a methodology of programming, meaning that family friendly films or sports or new TV shows or old movies, or you're buying kind of niche programming. It's not quite a la carte, but it's a lot closer to a la carte than it used to be. The reason that I bring all this up is one of the interesting spaces in the movie genre was a place called VidAngel, who we like and have been watching for a long time. Well, anyway, I wrote a headline that says VidAngel to rise again. Now, are you caught up on all the details with VidAngel changes, Kurt?
I wouldn't say that. Okay. I'd be caught up on all the details. I've got some of it, but, you know, I'm sure you got a better.
All right. Well, anyway, I took about 3 hours and studied it this weekend in depth to get caught up on it because I like those guys. I think they're great, and I can't follow it every day, but sometimes when I get a little bit of time on my hands, I spend the time and work on this because I like them, and I hope they do well. So VidAngel to rise again is my headline. And I reached out to the company. They're working on getting their CEO to be interviewed with us on Liberty Roundtable Live. So good on them for that. I reached out to them as part of my 3.5 hours saying, hey, I'm going to, you know. VidAngel, the market leading entertainment platform empowering users to filter language, nudity, violence, and other content from movies and TV series, has made a big change. Here's what happened. They used the Chapter 11 reorganization laws to stop the movie Hollywarped groups from completely shutting them down. See, they wanted to let you filter movies, but then the, you know, theater, mainstream Hollywood said, you can't do that. So they said, fine, let people buy the movies. They can filter them themselves and then they can sell them back to us. Then they said, well, you can't do that. Anyway, they had a big old lawsuit that was going to shut down Netflix, but Netflix worked very hard on new technology that I find absolutely...
You mean they were going to shut down VidAngel?
I'm sorry, they were going to shut down VidAngel. You're right. Sorry, Kurt. Thank you. They were going to shut down VidAngel, and VidAngel worked really hard on creating new technology, which I'll talk about in a second. That's just incredible, by the way. Disruptive technology. Once again, the new media takes center stage, and good on VidAngel for it. Anyway, I'll get to that in a second. But they literally used this reorganization law to say, okay, fine, shut us down. But we're not going to shut down like Chapter 7 bankruptcy and go away. We're just going to stop you from abusing us. We're going to stop the current lawsuits. We're going to stop the hostile financing and funding, and we're going to come back. Well, they used Chapter 11 reorganization laws, and now they put together this awesome idea. Here's what they're going to do. Instead of letting you buy DVDs and sell them back after you watch them, They reinvented the wheel. They worked very hard, 6 months plus, on this new technology. They're going to let you filter movies and TV series on either Netflix, Amazon Prime, I should say, and HBO. So what you do is you get a VidAngel account, you hook it up or connect it to Amazon Prime, HBO, or Netflix, and then any movie on there, you can press a button and you can watch it, but it sends it, instead of directly to you from Netflix or these other organizations, it sends it to the VidAngel servers, filters it, and sends it to you on the fly. And believe it or not, all the Hollywarped companies are saying this is fine. So they've literally reset their technology. They worked hard for 6 months to develop the ability to do this. And I assume they're going to be adding more capabilities than Amazon Prime, Netflix, and HBO. They're going to start add services, the ones that I watch, for instance. They're going to start adding more and more and more and more where they can filter these and get away with it. And so they're expanding. And I say to you that VidAngel is going to rise again. And I find this tremendous news in this epic battle that we've watched for a couple of years now, where they've tried to shut down ClearPlay, tried to shut down VidAngel, tried to shut down a lot of these groups. And these guys, Neil Harmon, the CEO, and the folks over at VidAngel, they've rethought, rebranded, fought back, and come up with a solution that I think is incredible. So VidAngel to rise again is the headline that I put to it, Kurt. And that's kind of the upshot of the story. Any other details you want to add?
You know, for anybody who's unaware of it, you've watched the whole movie industry for many years go from where, you could hardly say pregnant on TV to, freedom of speech in our day means you can literally say anything and do anything on TV. No community standards because, of course, we wouldn't want to censure people. There were those like us who felt, I guess you could say, that they didn't want to be barraged by this, tremendous onslaught of profanity, etc. And so they searched for these ways. And it's amazing to me that the movie industry, didn't want to accept us. They just wanted to, fight back against us. And I'm grateful for people like VidAngel and others who... hey, they kept fighting in there, and now they're still fighting the battle, and we'd love to support them.
Good people doing good things, and we bring it to the round table. Is anybody else telling you this fantastic news, huh? Just wondering.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. Final note on this VidAngel stuff and in these TV services. I really think there's big-time progress. Even though there's not clear a la carte options, which I personally would love the most, there's starting to be competing services more than ever before. You know, if I buy a Roku, I can get, like, what, 25,000 channels now? As opposed to the mere couple of hundred cable channels. I can also pick and choose the channels that I want. There's a lot of free channels and free TV out there. Roku is probably more a la carte than anything. They got a lot of individual channels that you can get for free and or paid. Then they've got, you know, bundles of channels based on Netflix and Hulu and a variety of other services. I personally like the Hallmark Now offering. That's just one of my favorites. So I right now pay, I have a Roku player and I get all that it offers for free. And then I pay for the Hallmark Now thing. It's about 30, I get it for 36 bucks a year because I'm grandfathered in it. It's about 60 bucks a year. So $5 a month for that, which is a bunch of movies and stuff like that. And original series and things. Just good stuff. A lot of people doing good things, and I commend them. And I also commend VidAngel for fighting back, for developing technology, for finding a way forward. And what it means at the end of the day is more and more people can watch more and more things and do so in the comfortability of their own home, less expensively, and do so in my opinion, family-friendly environment. So anyway, I commend VidAngel. And we're going to have them on talking about their refocus and what's happening. And I think VidAngel is going to rise again, and I hail it. I think it's awesome. It's now $8 a month for the VidAngel service. I don't know if that'll become cheaper over time or what'll happen because, you know, by the time you start buying that. But if you came back to me and said, Sam, it's equal to your cable bill, but you get a lot more channels and it's filtered. Wow, what an opportunity. I mean, that alone is incredible. Now, I personally hope for this a la carte channel option in the future. But I'm okay with groups of people that say, you might not get it a la carte, Sam, but you can fund people who are aligned with your way of thinking, your beliefs. Thus, the Hallmark Channel, or thus, the Dove Foundation, or thus, some of these other groups. And so I think it's wonderful, wonderful news. And I hope we have more competition. And I hope we have more things that I can buy, you know what I mean, that are family-friendly. I really hope for more of this. We had another guy. Oh, I can't remember his name. We interviewed some people that had another service that was quite family friendly. I don't have it now. It's something story or something like that. Anyway, we'll have to hunt for that and see how they're doing. Again, I just don't have enough hours in the day to keep up on all this stuff. But I commend good people for doing good things everywhere. And Liberty Roundtable is, you know, to bring it to your table. Anyway, it took me a long time to research all that about Netflix because I had to research the details about the, you know, top three streaming live services and, you know, what's happening on all that front as well. And it takes a long time to really study it and to understand it well enough to where you can articulate it and put it on the kitchen table for folks to understand. All right, Paul Ryan killing major pro-gun legislation in Congress. Did you see this, Kurt?
No, I didn't.
All right, anyway, Paul Ryan's the enemy of the people, once again, rejecting pro-gun legislation. Huh. And now with the next latest shootings, they're going to be pushing for anti-gun legislation, and Paul Ryan's, I'm sure, very likely to jump on board. And this is kind of what I was telling Lowell Nelson last hour. You know, you got these thugs that have control, and unless we stop their hostile control. I appreciate your hard work and your efforts. And I'm not saying give up. I am saying we've got to somehow stop these very powerful people from controlling everything. Anyway, there you have that. All right. They're America and ours. An incredible article written by Patrick J. Buchanan. Kurt?
Well, yeah, it's at least Pat's been around this whole political world and et cetera for quite some time, and he gives us some pretty good insight, I think, on a number of areas. You know, in this case, you know, he's talking about, he says, meet you at Peace Cross. Now, most of us have no idea what that means, but in the area where they live, in Bladensburg, Maryland, there's a 40-foot concrete memorial to the 49 sons of what's called Prince George's County's, these people who were lost in the Great War, he says. These were paid for by county families and the American Legion, and they had had this thing up there since 1925. Before, he says, the Beltway was built, which means the freeway going across there. Peace Cross at the junction of U.S. Route 1 and Maryland Route 450 was a landmark to us all. Last month, he says, two federal judges from the Fourth Circuit ruled that Peace Cross excessively entangles the government and religion and must come down. A suggested compromise was to saw the arms off, so the monument ceases to be an offensive cross. He says, one wonders, at what moment did Peace Cross begin to violate the Constitution?
Answer, I think about that term, too, Peace Cross.
Yeah, good point.
That's pretty well named, because if you're against Peace Cross, are you not peaceful?
Yeah,
just wondering.
It says, answer, never. No alteration has been made to the cross in a century. The change has come in the minds of intolerant judges and alienated elites, where the dirty creek of anti-Christian bigotry now flows into the polluted stream of anti-Americanism. He goes on a number of different things. He does even talk about the Robert E. Lee thing, Sam. He says, on Laura Ingraham's Fox News show, White House Chief of Staff General John Kelly called Robert E. Lee an honorable man who chose to defend the people among whom he had been raised. It was always loyalty to state first in those days, said Kelly, when asked his view on Alexandria's Episcopal Church taking down plaques to its greatest
parishioners. And by the way, that's the way I see it too, Kurt.
Yeah, good point. Which were Robert E. Lee and George Washington. An explosion of outrage greeted Kelly's defense of Lee. Yet, what has changed in half a century? As Ingraham noted, FDR, an icon of liberalism, referred to Lee as one of our greatest American Christians and one of our greatest American gentlemen. Asked in 1960, Pat Buchanan continues, how he could keep a portrait of a man who tried to destroy our government in his Oval Office, President Eisenhower wrote his critic back, General Robert E. Lee was one of the supremely gifted men produced by our nation. He believed unswervingly in the constitutional validity of his cause, which until 1865 was still an arguable question in America. He
and
was
by the way,
poised...
still is, hold on, still is an arguable question about states' rights.
Yeah, he was a poised and inspiring leader, true to the high trust reposed in him by millions of his fellow citizens. He was thoughtful yet demanding of his officers and men, forbearing with captured enemies, but ingenious, unrelenting, and personally courageous in battle, and never disheartened by a reverse or obstacle. Through all of his many trials, he remained selfless almost to a fault and unfailing in his faith in God. Taken altogether, he was noble as a leader and as a man, and unsullied as I read the pages of our history.
See, I agree with that.
Anyway, Pat basically says, hey, you know, the thing is topsy-turvy these days, and... I got to agree with him, Sam.
And now, yeah. General, what's that guy's name? This General Kelly or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, basically Robert. Said, hey, the war was about neither side could compromise. And that now attacked relentlessly, saying, by the way, Kelly, if I don't remind you, the war was about slavery. See, again, that's a distorted view of history, Kurt. It was not about slavery. It was about states' rights. It was about economics and the North literally choking the South economically. There was so many other components to this battle about the proper role of limited government and states' rights and who can demand what to who. Slavery, believe it or not, is the way they pitch this. You know, if you support the South, you're pro-slavery. That's a total lie. And they say, well, we had to have the war because of slavery. You know, the South was just too wicked. They were just, you know, evil to the blacks. Again, that's a lie. Now, I'm not defending slavery, but what I'm telling you is, hey, William Wilberforce got rid of slavery without a civil war. And the Southerners will tell you that slavery was going by the wayside anyway. They were finding better ways. I'm not defending slavery in any way. It's evil. It's wrong, no matter who enslaves who. But right now, I'm a slave of the IRS for like 6 months of the year. No one complains about that. You got slavery of the whites going on in Africa right now. No one talks about that. See? And so these people pervert history for their own political agenda. And I'm glad the United States stayed together. I'm glad we didn't have a secession. But I also believe that we've had a sea change, and the federal government has literally turned through the Civil War and through the 17th Amendment. They've literally turned states into puppets or political subdivisions of the Fed. That's got to stop as well. And the Southern point, or the point in Robert E. Lee's case, is still justified that, look, these are our countrymen. And economically, the North should not have authority to shut down or control the South. And states have a right to secede, even though I don't think that's the best course of action. They have that authority and right. If they had authority to create the union, they certainly have authority to decide we don't want to be part of it anymore. Nevertheless, there's some sad twists of history, but I stand on the God, family, and country and the protection of life, liberty, and property purpose of this radio broadcast. Kurt, final words yours on this.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting, Sam, too. We talk about bullying a lot these days, and yet it seems like you could hardly find a bigger bully than the federal government in so many ways.
Yeah, they're even bullying dead people like Robert E. Lee still. And George Washington. They're taking down the George Washington Monument, too, right? And Donald Trump said, oh, next will be George? The answer is yes, Kurt.
That's right. That's a great point. And that's what we see happening. You know, just get rid of all of our heroes, all of those good things of the past. And then somehow, you know, the new folks will make everything just right.
Yeah, but if I wanted to fund putting up a monument of George Washington, I'd get no support. I'd get no funding. I'd just be shut down because the conservatives don't do anything. If I wanted to get funding to take down George Washington Monument, I bet you I'd be piling in the cash, Kurt.
It's sad but true.
And the reason that I bring it up is not to be negative. I bring it up to say that you and I can change that together. That's the whole purpose of Liberty Roundtable Live and us, the new media, taking center stage. We can make a difference. We rally you to our cause. It's all about God, family, and country, and life, liberty, and property. And we declare... we defend the greatest nation on the earth. This nation shall endure.